That's supposed to be Acts chapter 15 someplace on there. We'll see. Good to see each and every one of you this evening, this nice rainy day. Evening, I should say. We're in the 15th chapter of Acts. I think Larry went down to verse 5, but I'm going to go back to verse 1 to start off with it. Where is Paul and Barnabas at the beginning of, what city are they in Acts 15? Start off with. Antioch. Which Antioch? Antioch of Syria. Okay. They're at Antioch at Syria. Do you know anything about Antioch of Syria? Anything you know about it?
They're the ones that sent them on the journey.
Do what?
They're the ones that sent them on the journey that they just took and came back to talk about.
Okay. But what about the city itself? Is it a small town, big city, large city? If you want to be here, raise your voice. No, it's not. That's my wife, and I know she can speak louder than that. I can guarantee you that much. Antioch of Syria is in the Roman Empire, and Rome is the largest city, and Alexander is number two. And Antioch of Syria is number three. So it is a large city. Several Jews there. But it's a very immoral city. Remember that. It's got a lot of idols there. And the Gentiles are... like our country is becoming, it seems like. It is very immoral with it. And so that's what city that they're in now that Paul and Barnabas are at. All right, we begin this ain't coming out right, but it's all right, I guess. Verse 1, let's read the first five verses. Hold on a minute. That's not showing up on my stuff. See, the verse 5 is not even on there. And I checked it. I don't know. Don't ask me. I didn't.
Okay. Let's see here. Let's go.
It's not in the colors or anything. Some of my stuff. Okay. And it's not.
So what you did here.
I didn't do anything.
Well, the problem
I ain't going to tell you who did it.
Okay.
No. What is it?
Well, see, this is all the spaces you got right here. That's the bottom of your slide. Okay, so you actually put your text below it.
No.
Yes.
No. I tried it all everything at home beforehand. And that's all it fits. It's the standard slide, and it fits in there. And it's not too wide. It's been working.
So all we need to do is change the font size, and we'll get it all in there. That's most of it.
Okay.
Okay. In fact, that's all of it.
Okay.
Okay. Now, the question is, when you come down here to this one,
yeah,
what are you going to get? I think the rest of them are going to be okay.
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 Thank you.
Okay.
It's not the colors and some of my stuff's not coming up, but that's okay.
The colors?
No. I can live with the colors, but I use color codes, and my color codes aren't coming up. All right, verses 1 to 5. And certain men came down from Judah and taught the brethren, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissensions and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and he reported all things that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up saying, "It is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses." All right, go back to verse 1. You see, it said you have some men that are coming from Judea. Now, it doesn't say Jerusalem, but Jerusalem is in Judea. Jerusalem is about 300 miles away from Antioch, Syria. And so these brethren are probably coming a pretty good distance here to talk to the brethren. And they tell them, the brethren, which is Gentile Christians, it says, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." Now, is that a true statement? Okay. So they're telling them that they have to have what? Both the law of Moses and the law of Christ, or the teaching of Christ, for salvation. See? That's what they're preaching here, or they're teaching these Gentiles that have become disciples. And he tells them, that they're saying, "Look, you're going to have to..." What is circumcision? What that does that stand for when you say here to see the word circumcised? When in the most of that stands for something other. Yeah, it's a relationship between the Jews and a covenant relationship with God, and that's one of the keys. One is being circumcised for the males. And it says, now this is core into the custom or the law of Moses, and tell me you cannot be saved. What they're telling me is that Christ alone cannot give you salvation. Christ alone is not enough for salvation. It's that's what they're preaching. And that's not what they believed. That's not what they heard. That's not what Paul and Barnabas has been preaching to them. Therefore, it says in verse 2, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissensions and dispute with them, with these brethren here, their disagreement, Paul and Barnabas are saying, that's not right. Well, it says, they determined that Paul and Barnabas, who's the they? They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others should go up to... Who's the day? Verse 3. So being sent on their way by the church. The church tells us it's now sending Paul, Barnabas, and certain of the brethren there at the church to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. But what do you think they're going to go to Jerusalem for? You got an apostle here, Paul. What could be the factor that causes them to say, look, we're going to have to get the other apostles and the elders that are involved at Jerusalem in this. One of the factors may be, if they're from Judea, they could be just telling us, look, Paul, they're preaching, the other apostles are preaching this in Jerusalem. Now, if you look in Galatians, the second chapter, you'll see that this is pretty well tied in what Paul was talking about, probably this trip here. Some people say it's not. Some people say it is. It probably could be. And he's talking about that. Now, it's been a number of years since Cornelius had been baptized. And there this comes up here now, this particular thing. And so they determined, the church says, well, look, it's easy to take care of this. Paul and Barnabas, if some of those of the Judea, the men that had come down there, wants to go back and check with the other apostles and see. And since Paul, supposedly, you know, apostle out of season or whatever, they're not taking his word for it. Now, how did Paul get his information? Directly from Christ. Direct revelation. But they're not taking his word for it. And then Paul in Galatians 7, it says, by revelation, I was told to go to Jerusalem. So, they leave. A group of them, Paul, Barnabas, and some of the members there, leave. So they are, in verse 3, so being on their way by the church, they probably passed through Phoenicia, Samaria, and they described the conversion of the Gentiles. Now listen to their reaction. And they caused great joy to all the brethren. These brethren were happy to see that the Gentiles were receiving salvation. They were receiving the gospel that they believe with it. There's a difference here. And when, verse 4, when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders. And they reported all the things that God had done with them. This is probably Paul and Barnabas speaking, telling them what they had been doing, preaching and teaching to the Gentiles, and what has come about, what is going on. Then he's also probably telling them, say, look, we've got some disagreement here. Then it says in verse 5, it says, but some of the sect of the Pharisees. Who's are the Pharisees? Who are Pharisees? This is a sect of Jews that are what? They're probably the scribes, strict on the law. And the Sadducees are the ones that do not believe in the resurrection. But the Pharisees do. But they're the ones that are strictly upon the law. And he says here, but some of the sect of the Pharisees, those that are believed, who believed, rose up saying, now they tell you, says, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now you got to do two things. You got to have the law of Moses and the teaching of Christ. They said you can't do without both of them. You got to have both of them. That's their argument. That's what they're saying. And that's what the people that first come out there say, look, you cannot have salvation without the law. Christ alone cannot give you salvation. That's basically what they're telling you. And that is false. Now, any questions or comments? All right, look at.
Mm-hmm. When they get to Jerusalem, they report the conversion of the Gentiles. But it's only at Jerusalem that somebody speaks up and says, well, these Gentiles have to be circumcised in order to be saved and keep the law of Moses in order to be saved. So kind of what they're doing is as they're traveling from Antioch to Jerusalem, they're trying to see, I mean, it seems to me that part of what they're doing is they're trying to see, okay, where all is this being taught? Okay. And so these guys had come from Jerusalem to Antioch and evidently hadn't spread this doctrine, okay? But when they get to Antioch and they hear about these Gentiles being saved, mm-hmm. then they say, well, they have to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. And it's not until they get back to Jerusalem that they hear it again. So it seems like this is just the very beginning of this Judaizing doctrine, and it's centralized mainly in Jerusalem, and as the gospel is taught to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles receive it, then you find this sect within the church kind of raising their objection, and so it needs to be addressed where it's being taught, it seems like. Now, when you get to some of the epistles, it seems like they almost try to prevent, they try to get ahead of
the doctrine. Right.
But here, they're just trying to address it where it's being taught, and thankfully, it's only being taught in Jerusalem.
Yeah. This is the beginning of it. Now, you're going to have problems somewhat with this from now on. People are going to take to the old law, but they're not going to take the whole law. But in here, they're talking about, when they get to this Pharisee, they say, look, we're talking about the whole law now. Now, up there, they were just talking about certain, well, it could be that, could be meaning they meant part of it. But he said, but according to the custom of Moses, the custom of Moses, to me, is interfering. He's talking about the law of Moses. Now, it also gives you an indication that these men are from Judea. Well, did they just happen to come up there? Are they traveling? What? They had to pass through all this other stuff. Why are they not teaching it there? Why did they go to Antioch to teach these? And they could be telling, okay, we have some, there are some brethren in Jerusalem are teaching this, that you have to have this. And that's what they're teaching these. And that's one reason they maybe say, well, we need to go back to Jerusalem if that's what they're teaching, to see what's going on. Because Paul and Barnabas are telling them that this is not true. You do not have to. And in particular, he does in Galatians, the second chapter, he does go through that pretty well. And he will later on too. Sherry?
Is this the start of the power struggle that's going to exist between the Jews and the Gentiles? Trying to determine who's going to be the stronghold and halfway going along with what is being taught about Christ, but up to a point they're just not going to do it?
It could be, because you're talking about... Later on, when they go back to Jerusalem, talk about leading men. And apparently these people are not leading men in that way. Gives you an indication. I'm not saying it, but it just tells you that. But when I think about it or ponder over it, that they're looking for some power, like they had under the law of Moses. And it looks like they may be trying to get it under Christ in the church. Could very well be. Anything else?
Just it seems like this doctrine originated in Jerusalem, mm-hmm. but they went to Antioch. Why did they go to Antioch? Well, Antioch was the first congregation
right.
of the church that taught Gentiles openly, and it was at Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they go up there to kind of correct this wrong, that, you know. And I, you know, you always have to, Sherry's question kind of went to motive. You have to give people the benefit of the doubt. I think that there's, you know, they're sincere, you know. They're sincerely wrong, but they're sincere, you know. And so when the sincerity confronts truth, one of two things is going to happen.
Well, it's interesting because they call you know, these Pharisees who believe, or they're called their brethren. And he calls them the false brethren. That's the big difference. He didn't call them false teachers, he called them false brethren. And he gives them, you get the indication, Paul and Barnabas gives them time and opportunity for free speech to give their argument. And then when you get down to Jerusalem, you get that same impression too, that they have the right to speak their philosophy or their opinion or their beliefs about this. It's just that the apostles and the Holy Spirit overrides them, which we will find out a little bit later on. I don't want to... Well, if you think about it, and I always try to look from the standpoint of my looking at it, the Jews, when I think about them, did they not misrepresent the understand the Messiah? Weren't they not looking for an earthly kingdom, not a spiritual? Well, it's kind of be the same way here, is that they're misinterpreting this their way too. But they're strong about it. Apparently, because they're arguing it, and they kept on about it, and they're going to come back again, and they go back to Jerusalem. And then you got this sect here of the Pharisee come along, which is supposed to be the scribes, and know the law. But understand that if we've been looking at, reading about in the first part of Acts for now, how the Pharisees have been very diligent about against the church. And so it's their interpretation, misrepresentation here, and I think this is a part of it, this continuation here. Cole?
I think sometimes we forget, and we kind of give the Pharisees a little bit of slack. Oh, well, they've grown up in this, and this is all they've ever known. If they really studied the old law the way it should have been, the new law is talked about time and time again, the book of Isaiah, up
we see the things later on that are going to be kept, right? The ones that you're going to get into here. And those have a lot to do, too, with the way worship is conducted and not bringing those things in to the church, which, you know, could have very well happened.
Well, as we progress on this, you're going to listen to the apostles and the brethren come back with their argument. And it's, and if you read it and look at it, to me, it's first it starts off with Peter, then you got Paul and Barnabas, and it ends up with James. And Peter talks about going to Cornelius the first time about this, and then you got Paul and Barnabas talking about the miracles they've done. Then you got James bringing the prophets into this. So they're hitting all the bases on this argument. And, but it basically comes down to is you guys are arguing against God. And you're not going to win. You do not tempt or test God. And we'll go on. It says, now the apostle, verse 6, and the elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did us. And made know this distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the despised of the disciples, the Gentile disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. So now you come back to the, have the elders and the apostles, and there's still, there's a dispute going, and Peter comes up now and stands up. Now, who was the first one? Peter went to Cornelius. This is, he says, now let's remember the first time. Let's go back to the beginning. It's been a number of years ago. Let's go back. He says, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago, God chose among us. He starts what? Who did this? God. That by my mouth, the Gentile should hear the word of the gospel, the teaching of Jesus, and believe. And what does that produce? Faith. Freddie? Somebody got something else? No. All right. Peter now goes back. What happened to Peter? Did he not have a revelation, a vision? Who that from? God. What I have cleansed, you don't call common. God made a choice. That the Gentiles should hear the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, do you know the heart? No. Do I know the heart? No. God knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit. What for? To make Peter and the brethren understand that God has chosen these people? God knew Cornelius' heart, knew the household, how they were, his family. And he gave him the Holy Spirit where they can speak in the tongue and praise God. So that Peter and the other brethren can say, look, if God okays with them, why should I not be? Is he requiring anything else? Did he say anything for us that they have to obey, become a Jew first? Did I have to tell Cornelius that he had to become circumcised? None of that was brought up. But I saw what the vision and it came to me in Revelation saying, it says, look, what I have cleansed, don't you call common. There is not a distinction between Jew and Gentiles anymore. That's what he's trying to tell me. There is no difference. If you hear and you believe, you become a disciple. You don't become a Jew. You don't stay a Gentile. Or a Jew, or bond, free, slave. It's gone. Once you're in the church, once you're the disciple. Verse 9. And may no distinction between us and them. This has to be hard for some of the Jews. I know it had to be. Because they're all their life. Jew, Gentile. They're dogs. We don't eat with them. We don't associate with them. You go in and eat with them? You don't do that. No. That's gone. He made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. They heard and they believed in the messages. The message was the teaching and preaching of Jesus, the Messiah, that you, the Jews, have killed, the one you're supposed to be waiting for, the Messiah. Now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Now, how would they kept the law perfect? Could they bear it? Do you look at our fathers, our forefathers? And here you want to put that on to the Gentiles? And we can't even do it ourselves? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Salvation for them is the same as salvation for us. You don't have to have the law of Moses to be saved. Jesus Christ saves. That's what he's talking about. Not the law of Moses. It's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ dying up on that cross, that through his shed blood, we have this remission of sins once we be here and believe and be baptized for the remission of our sins. That's salvation. It's not the law of Moses. Go ahead.
I think the bottom line, verse 11, is just an outstanding statement, because what's under consideration here is, are the Gentiles saved without circumcision and keeping the Mosaic law? And he says, we shall be saved.
Uh-huh.
We shall be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had the Mosaic law and then we were taught the gospel.
That's right.
No, they were taught the gospel of Christ and they're saved.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Nothing to do with the Mosaic law.
That's right.
And so that's just it's almost like you're expecting them to say they will be saved in the same manner as we were.
Yes.
He turns it around, because they were saved. The Jews were saved by hearing the gospel and believing. Purified their hearts by faith, okay? And the Jews are saying, yeah, we were ready for that, we were prepared for that, and everything. And the Gentiles, they were never prepared for any of it. It said, the gospel prepares them.
Mm-hmm.
The gospel prepares their hearts. And if they believe it, then
That's what his, as you talk about, came down in conclusion with that way. I think he starts off with the really the key thing to it is God. This is God. Okay? And that's what you're trying to do. Are you tempting or testing God? You're going to lose every time. You're not going to win. Can't do it. And that's why you're basically telling them. Then he comes up and says, like Doug's talking about here, we, talk about the Jews, shall be saved in the same manner as they. And what was that? They heard the word and they believed and they obeyed it. That's it. We'll continue with verse 12 come next Wednesday. Thank you.